Hello and welcome to this podcast discussion powered by PSG Wealth on becoming disciplined savers. Now, this is a theme that we have actually been touching on a couple of times on this platform. And previously we mentioned that the biggest transfer of wealth is currently underway, with UBS research showing that globally over $84 trillion will change hands in the next 20 years. And to put that into perspective, that is more than the size of the US economy. At the same time, the current savings rate challenging across the world due to higher inflation and commensurate interest, which may make saving more difficult, still shows massive contrast between South Africa and the rest of the world. My name is Mdio Gawaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and I'll be your host for what looks to be a very informative discussion. And joining me for today is Nadev Desai, who is Head of Sales over at PSG Wealth, and he will be helping us to discuss how disciplined savings today results in successful investors tomorrow. Nadev, greetings to you today.
Greetings, Madiba. Looking forward to the chat.
No, most certainly. So I think it would be good. We sort of take some of these things for granted sometimes. You know, we think we understand what is saving. We think we understand what is investing. You know, maybe you could give us a more expert-driven definition of what the difference is between saving and investing before we can get into how, you know, people become disciplined savers and investors.
Sure. Thanks, Madiba. It may seem like a very obvious, but to some people, it's not necessarily that obvious. So I think it's worthwhile to unpack it. So people tend to use these terms interchangeably, but there are definitely nuances between investing and saving. And so savings, in my mind, is the act of putting away either a lump sum or recurring amounts on a regular basis. Just that simple act of putting away something. However, taking that a step further and taking those savings and deciding to achieve growth out of your savings is the first step into this journey of investing. And once you get into this journey of investing, it takes a commitment to invest into growth assets, and that typically requires time in the market to achieve the inflation-beating returns that one can expect out of growth assets on the one side, and then compounded returns that you get from being invested in growth assets on the other, which only becomes more effective the longer you are invested in the market. And so that, I hope, summarizes the big nuance between investing and saving.
Yeah, no, most certainly. Where I'm from, people sometimes talk about under the pillow banking. You know, we're basically you save money by putting it literally under the pillow. Unfortunately, that's money that's sitting idle. It's not working for you. It's not earning any interest. It's not going out and doing the work on the other
doing
side.
Doing something for you. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe now that we have an understanding of that difference between saving and investing, how does South Africa, I guess, compare to other parts of the world? Because I think South Africa has the somewhat dubious reputation of being a country of spenders and not savers. And maybe you could dispel that for us if it's a myth, or maybe just give us data to back it up if it is indeed the truth.
So, Madiba, I'd love to say that we can dispel the myth. Okay, that we are not necessarily poor savers, but, you know, household savings rates are measured across the world. And perennially, you know, I look at these stats on a quarterly basis, and South Africa, unfortunately, has a poor household savings rate. And the latest number is around 1.13%. So 1% of income is saved. That is typically what it means. And that's a pretty poor amount. And you know, what we will typically talk to is that us as South Africans, we have high inflation, and there's stress on disposable income and other reasons why it is so difficult to save. However, there are other countries in similar conditions to ours. And I mean, you've mentioned in your opening, you know, we typically find ourselves across the world in a high inflation, high interest rate environment. But there are other emerging economies like South Africa that have double-digit savings cultures. And even if we look at some European countries that are probably a bit more similar to South Africa, and I'm thinking about like Spain or Portugal, they also have household incomes similar to South Africa, around the 26,000 rand a month mark, with higher household savings rates. And so Portugal is sitting at about 6.6% household savings rates versus South Africa's just over 1%. So that's about six times more than South Africa. So it's still not great, but it is six times more than South Africa. So, you know, we have to face reality as South Africans that we are not that good at saving, and relative to our peers around the rest of the world, we can definitely learn one or two things and start embracing some of the things that we take control, that we can become better savers. And so taking a leaf out of probably the most successful investor in the world, Warren Buffett, I often quote him, and he once recommended to individuals that they should rather not save what is left after spending, but instead they should spend what is left after saving. And by starting with improving our savings culture as a country and as a nation, we'll be able to get on track to be better individual investors as well.
You know, it is interesting, you know, when you actually give concrete examples, putting South Africa against other markets and especially countries. I think you use the example of Spain, where you have a similar amount of money. And you then see that, you know, actually, we could be better in South Africa at being able to have more retained income, to be more disciplined. Now, I get to engage with people like yourselves and other finance professionals a lot in what I do. And one of the things I always hear from people that I know that are financial planners, they always talk about budgeting. And you'd swear that budgeting is like this thing that is going to set you off, you know, on the journey to ultimate financial discipline. But is it really that simple, that having a budget in place can actually set you up in that way?
So very good question, Madiba. So, you know, if we think about that recommendation from Warren Buffett now, it does seem a bit extreme and idealistic, you know, that you should spend what is left after saving. But it talks to a mindset of planning for a better financial future and understanding how you will balance your spending and savings today versus the lifestyle and opportunity cost of the lifestyle in the life that you are leading today versus in the future. So what a budget does is it really puts that framework in place. And what ultimately can come out of this is very similar to, let's say, I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to make sure that I live a good lifestyle. I'm going to try not to have cheat days, etc. And in the same way, a budget helps you think about things like having financial cheat days. And so in the world that we live in, I mean, South Africa, we've got a solid financial institution economy. And so it is easy to get access to credit and have those opportunities for, let's call it, financial cheat days. And a budget will help put those things into perspective to say, okay, so if I'm going to have splurging moments and have the equivalent of, let's say, a financial cheat day, you can't just wish that away like a hangover, you know, that you will have from a cheat day with a couple of pills. The messing up with your budgets is going to mess with your long-term plans. And so that is the starting point, and it's going to become the framework that is needed in order to become better savers and then ultimately better investors. And so if one can take a bit of a leaf out of a budget, is that it's easy to put together a budget, but it is very important to stick that budget and not think about the temptations that are all around us that can potentially lead to cheat days and messing up with that budget.
I feel like I speak on behalf of many consumers here when I say sometimes it feels like there's a conspiracy to lead us astray when it comes to these budgets, because there's so much temptation out there, either for that unplanned spending, you know, you see a good deal or at least something that purports to be a good deal. And you're like, I can't miss this opportunity. Or as in many cases, people are finding it difficult to not make certain decisions. Consumers are under pressure, you know, all of this stuff. And one of the big areas is there sometimes are big purchases that come along the way. So that's an easy one to say. I've heard of something called the one-day rule when it comes to making some of the big purchases. Maybe you could first tell us, what is this one-day rule? And then secondly, you know, does it actually work?
So a one-day rule is kind of a mindset that you put in place to say, before any big decision, just give yourself some time before you actually go and make that big decision. Because often what happens, those big purchases comes with a good deal that comes along, a specific discount that is only there for a limited amount of time. And as a consumer, you feel rushed into getting into making that decision. And so what many individuals have done is they've said, listen, they're going to apply a one-day rule to understand how it fits into these big purchases, fits into a budget, and whether it does make sense. And so while the short-term temptation can be so alluring and so addictive, you know, it's important to have something like a one-day rule. What we often find is that when one makes these big purchases, there's buyer's remorse. And it's why many regulations, such as, you know, in South Africa, you have cool-off periods within several industries where consumers are actually partially protected from these kinds of life-altering purchases. But we know how difficult it is also to get out of those cool-off periods and buyer's remorse, etc. So it's important to actually decide, is this something that really is going to make a difference to my life if I'm going to buy this big item? And so people put in place their own sort of cooling off period before they make that big purchase. And so some people will call it a one-day rule. I've heard other people say, no, in their lives, they apply a three-day rule or seven-day rule. So as individuals, you know, it's just about applying almost like a cool off and a step back from the temptation of the big sale. And so it is worthwhile to do that. The second thing I'd actually like to chat about is that an increasing concern that we've seen around the world that investors need to be on the watch for is something called doom spending. I don't know if you've heard of this term, Mudiwa, but you know, increasingly the world that we're living in, there's a lot of information being thrown at us as individuals, and we are aware of the surroundings around us. And so whether we're talking about taking on the collective burden of climate change or financial stress around the world, people typically find that spending releases good endorphins. And so big purchases helps to release these endorphins. And so what we are increasingly seeing happen, Mudiwa, is that people are spending to help themselves feel better in a world where people are increasingly feeling that stress. And so investors need to watch out for this doom spending by applying their own version of a one-day rule or a three-day rule or some sort of cooling off period. And so that the best way to not get to the point where they are on the wrong side of a budgeting process is not to get there in the first place and not to have those cheat days, which has a negative impact on their future lifestyles.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like there's a lot that people need to think about and consider when it comes to spending habits, and especially some of the bigger ones. I think it's even more apparent when people sort of feel like they have money burning a hole through their pockets, or at least have the perception of that. This is where the issue of credit comes into the conversation. And I'm going to ask you one of those questions, you know, about can I have my cake and eat it too? You know, to say,
sure.
Can South Africans have, you know, nice things today, nice things tomorrow? Is credit such a bad thing? And how much is the tipping point into irresponsible lending that hampers successful saving?
Yeah. Mudiwa, it's a really good question. And I think if us as individuals try to recommend to others, only focus on the lifestyle in the future, there are many critics that will talk about, well, you know, you don't know whether there's a future, you don't know whether there's a tomorrow. So many people would also like to live a good life today. And often there are two forms of this discussion. One is where the life today revolves around happiness, and happiness being a function of the amount of money spent today, versus a quality lifestyle that is not necessarily that linked to spending and financial excess. And so if we then talk about the first part where people say, well, it is about that spending on a daily basis and you need money in order to live and have a good life, then sure, there is a need for credit to make those big purchases. But understand the consequences of having those big purchases on your budget and your financial future and the financial plan that you may have had for future goals. So by taking on credit today, it is a reality for the majority of us. You know, we'll take out a home loan or we'll take out something for vehicle finance, etc. But understand what that comes with in terms of the impact going forward. And so while that is all a reality, at the same time, we need to make sure that that reality is also balanced with a good budget. And a good budget will include having savings as a daily or monthly or regular habit that is part of whatever income or earnings that comes into one's bank accounts. And so what successful investors talk to is that any bit of income that comes in, minimum 15% should go towards some sort of investment framework. So start with saving, make sure that goes into a financial plan where you are investing. And if you do that with every single income that comes into your hands, you will get closer to where South Africans are suddenly in that not 1% of household savings rate, but closer to what the double digit returns we are seeing in the rest of the world. So it's not undoable. It just needs to become a habit and it needs to become part of what we do as an individual and as families with good habits around savings.
And maybe to assist with those good habits as a way to tie everything that we've spoken about today up, the fact that there is this huge wealth transfer that's happening. That's a conversation that you and I have had. We've had an entire session on this wealth transfer that's happening. Now we're just talking about becoming disciplined savers and investors. You've given us a lot of tools and frameworks that we can use. From a PSG Wealth point of view, how are you guys assisting your customers or clients when it comes to that discussion around building intergenerational wealth?
Good question. So PSG has found that surrounding yourself with people with like-mindedness, in this case, that what we're talking about is a savings and investing culture, enables individuals to become better savers and investors themselves. And so PSG Wealth has an advice-led approach that builds professional yet personal relationships with our clients. And our advice to our individual clients includes holistic financial planning for families. And we encourage holistic financial for families because we want to ensure that those that we surround ourselves with are also aligned in terms of financial mindsets. And that will facilitate the build of intergenerational wealth. And we find that servicing individuals and communities where they reside enables the spread of that common mindset. And we find that referrals and clients who have had great experiences and successes with PSG are more and more engaging with PSG to enable the same on their side. And so more and more South Africans are encouragingly actually achieving this and achieving intergenerational wealth and there's intergenerational wealth transfer through a better savings and investing mindset. And so, Madiwa, if I can leave it to any of your listeners, if they'd like to reach out to us, you know, we've got various media that your listeners can reach out to us and any of the contact points, whether it's the website or on social media, please, they must just reach out to us and we'd love to do the same for more and more South Africans so that we can improve the savings and investment in South Africa.
So that's where we end off for today. I think it's a great point on which to end off to say that perhaps it's always good to surround yourself with people whose saving and investing, you know, habits are healthy and whose saving and investment habits you'd like to model yourselves after. And PSG just saying that they can actually help you from that point of view with their own network of professionals. But also, you know, in your own life, if you can surround yourself with those people, it's really great. Something that I'm, you know, certainly passionate about, you know, to say that as a society, we need to be having better conversations, you know, about money. We talk about everything else, but for some reason, money is just not one of those things that we talk about. Yet it's probably the most important thing that we are engaging with. I mean, we spend hours and hours at work trying to earn this money, and the least that we can do is to make sure that that money is put to the best use. Also, you know, great understanding the difference between saving and investing. As much as we want to, it sounds as if we're talking about a phased approach to say that, you know, where we are now, we need to move South Africa to being a country of savers, increase the savings rate in South Africa, then from there engage professionals such as those at PSG and others to move the country towards being a country of investors. And hopefully all of that can help to build the intergenerational wealth that Nadev and his team are advocating for. So that's it for today's discussion. It has been a really great one, just talking about how disciplined savings today results in successful investors tomorrow. Thank you so much to Nadev Desai. He is the head of sales over at PSG Wealth. Nadev, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for the chat today, Buriwa. It was really great.
So that's where we end off. That has been this podcast on saving to investing and just preparing ourselves for a successful investment tomorrow. I've been your host, Mulio Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And remember that you can subscribe for free episodes on iono.fm, Spotify, player.fm, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts.